So, namaste, welcome to this guided contemplation session. As you may know, we've been doing these sessions with various students, and each one of them is a unique way. It reveals a unique aspect of the contemplative process. And it's a general open process that we can apply to anything that's happening in our life. Our outer worldly situation may begin to get worse. The deeper we have seen, in some areas of our life may begin to get worse because it's mirroring back a belief to us that we're holding on to, still kind of grasping somewhere within our being. And that belief is out of alignment with what we've seen ourselves to be. So it's very common for things to come back up again after a deep seeing. And it's good to know that that's part of the process and we're not doing anything wrong in that. So I'm here today with Melissa. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, Helen. How are you?
Thank you for doing this session. I'm very well, thank you. You okay?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks.
Good. So do you want to just get us started by just kind of describing what's going on for you that led you to kind of want this session? It's usually some kind of karmic pattern that repeats itself in some way in our life, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So what I've noticed, because I've been doing a lot of contemplation over several months, and this is an area that just it's not really resolving itself. So for me, I guess I could describe it as it's kind of like I don't know if it's a fear. I guess it would be a fear of like abandonment or rejection. And I have this real sense that I just don't belong. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed that it really affects, like, I have no friends. Like it stops me from creating like intimate connections with others, and it affects my family relationships as well.
Yeah.
And it affects, I mean, I can even talk about as simple as like sharing a post on social media. Like I'm so afraid of being rejected or that I just, so it's very isolating.
Because our mind does this thing where it says, okay, let me just isolate myself rather than risk that happening to me. It's easier to be on my own than to risk forming a connection with someone and then being rejected or abandoned, isn't it? And of course, we're not thinking that consciously, but it's showing us our life, isn't it? And it's affecting our happiness, our peace.
Absolutely. I mean, even, you know, with me trying to find a job and, you know, I've contemplated unworthiness or, you know, is it true I'm not safe? But this one area is still, it just is right in my face. Like it's, So
if we look at this pattern in general, this thing's going on in your life, and you've just said, I'm paraphrasing, so it might not be the exact words, but it's still kind of going on, even though you've done some contemplation and all of that before, and it's really affecting your life in a big way, isn't it? All areas of, because life is relationships, isn't it? With ourselves, with others, with money, with time, with all of that. So let's look at the pattern overall. Let's kind of what emotions come up around the actual fact that this is still happening in your life, because we could go into the fear and the abandonment and the unworthiness, but I have a feeling that there's something else hiding under there, otherwise this would have changed by now. But when we hit the right belief, the situation should start to change. So if it isn't changing, maybe we just haven't got to the bottom of that. When I looked at my life, there was one particular pattern that was going on, very similar, trying to convince myself that I was okay being alone when really I was lonely and wanted those richer connections. And I actually dug right down deep down into it, and it was how I felt about the thing still going on. Why is this pattern still happening in my life, and how I felt about the fact it was still there and that I hadn't managed to overcome it. It was actually holding it in place. It wasn't even anything to do with, I mean, it was showing up as that way, you know, wanting to isolate myself. So only you know for certain, do you think it's more about that the fact that you can't seem to make this disappear? Or do you think it's actually the unworthiness and the abandonment, or a little bit of both?
I have had other areas where I just think, oh man, I wish, why is this gone? I don't feel that way about this. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's a deeper, you know, that abandonment and unworthiness or not feeling good enough. Or it's almost like this fear of like, if people actually see who I really am, mm-hmm. they're not going to like me, or maybe they will like me. And what does that mean to them?
Then I'll suddenly have no privacy and I'll be bombarded with, you know, all of that, isn't it, then comes in.
Yeah.
So either what's the predominant emotions that happen around this? And again, take your time. There might be two or three. There might not be any specific one. There might just be a complete sense of overwhelm, or, you know, it might be something immediately shouts out at you, or...
It's not shouting out right now.
That's okay.
Really struggling. I don't know about an emotion. I feel a real, I guess, a deep sadness.
Sadness.
And just a kind of like an emptiness, like a, you know, that I think before talked about like that apathy almost, but mm-hmm. but not really apathy, because sadness kind of trumps that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, so, it's something that's been my whole life. So
let's look at this sadness then, because that feels a key component to this. And so what we do with the contemplative process, we look at the situation, then we look at the emotions that seem to be, because our mind says, I feel sad about this situation out there. And I feel this way in here about that situation out there. So I can't feel any different until the situation changes. That's the way our mind works. But our situation is a reflection of what we're holding on to inside, as I'm sure you know and have experienced. Things change. So as we look at this sadness, let's set aside the way it's showing up in your life just temporarily. Let's just look at the sadness on its own and see if it had a voice to tell you, if it had a message, or sadness had a mantra, what would it say to you? And it's usually some kind of belief that starts with an I, isn't it? I, you know, sort of moving on from there. What does sadness actually say? What's the story behind it? And again, take your time here. There's no rush.
The first thing that comes to my mind is, I'm not accepted as I am.
Mm-hmm. You can see why that would kind of generate a frequency of sadness, because that's really all we want, isn't it? So, are there any other kind of emotions? You mentioned apathy sort of briefly. Is there anything else in there?
I think there's definitely some anger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I get anger around not being accepted for who I am.
Yeah. So we may need to go and look, or you may need to go and look at the anger separately once we've looked at this sadness. But my gut feeling is it's going to disappear, that anger, because the anger is that I don't feel I can be accepted no matter how hard I try to change myself for these other beings. I still don't feel accepted, or, you know, that kind of feeling. So as you begin to feel more accepted, that anger is going to dissipate anyway, because what you're angry at is going. So let's take this kind of core statement. I don't feel, what was it that you said exactly? I don't feel accepted by others.
I don't feel accepted for who I am.
For who I am. Okay. So then let's turn that into a question. Is that true? That I'm not accepted for who I am, because it's going to directly contradict this story, this idea that's been held on to, brought into this incarnation, this physical incarnation, probably experienced again and again, over and over. So it feels something inside us gives real allegiance to this. Well, yes, it's true. It's obviously true. My life has shown me it over and over. But to really begin to undo that energy that's going to that idea and therefore showing up as our life, we have to begin to turn that into a question. So with contemplation, you may already know, but it's just worth explaining anyway. I'm going to ask this question: is this really true that I'm not accepted for who I am? Every now and again, we're just going to remind ourselves of that question. And I'd just like you to tell me all of the answers that come when they come. So answers to that question are going to come in all kinds of shapes and forms. They're going to be your mind saying, you know, thought answers, obviously it's true, you know. And then your mind might start to give you positive answers. Well, I know it's not true. I've seen it can't be true. And emotional answers, maybe that sadness or something. You'll also get kind of energetic answers. You might feel energy moving in the body in response to the question. You might hear a dog bark outside or get an itch on your foot. That's a kind of answer in a weird way, because it's happening in response to the question, in the space of the question. Really what I'm getting at here is we're not going to say that any answer is wrong, you know, so, and there is no right answer either. We're just asking this question and leaving space for the answers that come. Thoughts, feelings, emotions, experiences, external sounds, sensations in the body, anything and everything that happens is an answer. So we're just taking our focus off of only listening to the thought answers, which we then experience as the emotion, and then it reflects as our life. To do that, it's just this openness. So let's just lead with this question. Is it really true? I can't be accepted for who I am, or I'm not accepted, excuse me, whichever one feels better for you.
So the first thing that happens is I get this real constricted energy in my solar plexus.
Yeah, because, and here's a kind of energetic answer and even a physical sensation answer. And we're not going to reject it. We don't have to like it, but we're not going to say it's right or wrong. Something inside us would normally go, I don't want that. You know, that's not the answer I'm looking for. And we're just staying with it, staying open to whatever answer comes, and letting the body feel it best you can, and not judging it as right or wrong, and just staying with this question and seeing what else comes to the forefront, so that we're not zooming in on any particular answer. We'll notice them as they come, but we're not trying to do anything about them. It's just, let's see what happens here. We don't have to do any work here. You and I, we're just reminding ourselves of the question and kind of reporting, just watching the answers that are going to come. And it might be that no answers come for a while. There might be long periods where nothing's happening, or, you know, times when lots is happening, and that's totally okay.
So from the constricted in the solar plexus, I feel the energy is actually moving upward, and it's just turning into this fear.
Okay. So just allowing that the best you can. It's okay if you resist it too. You can feel something. That's also a kind of answer, isn't it? The resistance. Something's going to say, no, I don't want to feel this. Yeah. And just reminding to stay open with the question, is this really true that I'm not accepted for who I am? Just very gently reminding yourself every now and again. And I'm just reminding you, because sometimes when stuff's going on in the body, it's hard to even remember the question.
Yeah. Always totally happening.
Yeah. I used to write it down myself, you know, or email it to myself or something, so that I wouldn't lose it or carry it around in my pocket or something, because it just seems to disappear when you need it most. Mm-hmm. Can't remember. It's just because energies are moving around inside.
So then I get, so then my mind says it's not true. And then I get this wave of energy through my body that is just this open lightness.
Yeah. So you can see kind of what we might call positive and negative thought answers. positive and negative physical answers, mm-hmm. energetic answers, constricted tight feeling, and then openness and lighter feeling. And we're not judging any of those. They're all completely allowed to exist inside you. And we're just staying with the question. And just as we're staying with the question, you might just begin to notice that the answers become more what you would want them to be. Just by staying with the question, a lighter feeling. And first, you know, fear, maybe just that fear might dissipate a little bit or spread out or be less intense.
Yeah, fear is definitely spreading out for sure, less intense.
Good.
Same with the constricted feeling in my stomach.
So we might have many answers happening at the same time, thoughts, feelings, all of that. It's totally okay. Our only job here is just to gently remind ourselves of the question, just to notice we're not holding on to any particular answer. We're not looking for the right answer. You might begin to notice there's something happening just being with this question, just kind of directly challenging this assumption that's caused so much pain in our life. Just, is this really true? Actually, my experience tells me it is, but I really would just like to see a kind of openness in the question, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
Building eventually to curiosity. I'd like to actually find out rather than just assume.
Mm-hmm. So what I've noticed then when I keep asking the question and just being open to it is just this, like there's really no answer coming. I was just kind of coming to the, to like an emptiness, like a, there's just like nothing there.
So here is a different type of answer. Here is the non-phenomenal or the noumenon or the emptiness. So there's two types of answer we're going to get from any question. One is the phenomenal answers, thoughts, emotions, energy, moving, things that come and go and change.
Mm-hmm.
Even our body is a kind of phenomenal answer, isn't it, in a way? And then at some point, just by being open like this, this non-phenomenal, this answer that's not changing, it's just this kind of blank, empty space at first, that is the intangible self that you are. And just noticing it's not the right answer, it's just another answer. It's nice, it can be here. It might feel quite content or peaceful. And yeah, phenomenal answers are not wrong answers either. They can all be there, can't they, together, floating around in this emptiness. Your body's just floating there in the emptiness, and whatever feelings are going on inside it still. So we can welcome this answer as well. It's totally valid. It's not better than phenomenal answers.
Mm-hmm.
Just this open attitude, whatever happens is okay, whatever answer comes. And kind of in that openness, you might notice that this emptiness just begins to come more to the forefront. And maybe the phenomenal answers might still be there, just, you know, just there. They're not causing any trouble, let's say.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening.
Okay. So let's just stay with the question and see where this takes us. And there's no goal to this contemplation. It isn't the goal to get rid of phenomenal answers. You know, they might come and go. It's okay. Maybe just recognizing as we stay with the question, the answers are getting nicer, or ones that I would want to experience more. In my assumption of what's true, I've only been able to experience the negative answers, the negative thoughts, the negative constriction of energy, and the negative emotions and the negative experiences that mirror that. So let's just remind ourselves of the question in case we've forgotten, which can happen. But is it really true? I've forgotten the question.
I'm not accepted as I am.
There we go.
Yeah. You know what's sad? Because I asked myself that just before you were speaking, and I got that total constricted energy again in my solar plexus.
Yeah.
Which was surprising to me because I was really quite content in the emptiness, and almost, well, like I said, forgotten the question. And when I asked it again, it was like that real constricted, like, and then fear.
So this may happen a couple of times, because in our closed, we've closed around this belief, this story that you can't be accepted and you won't ever be accepted, you know, that kind of apathy feeling. The energy in the body hasn't been able to move as it wants to. These tensions and things have been there, we haven't been aware of them. So now we're asking this question in the openness. There's suddenly an awareness of this very tight, constricted feeling. They may have been there your entire life, but it's just been so normal. This is how my body is. But we're suddenly aware of it now, and it can begin to move. So it might be there for a while, and it's not the goal to get rid of it. It's allowed to exist just like all the other answers. It's not the most pleasant, of course, the fear as well. You can kind of get the sense of what we're doing here. We're just allowing whatever needs to move, whatever answers want to come. And there might be some emotions that come with that. Might be some relief and some relaxation in the body also, even with this kind of tight feeling in one place.
Which is what's happening. So it's like there's that real constriction and the fear comes up, and then there's tighter constriction. And then it's like almost like the fear comes up and moves out. And then there's like an openness again.
So it just kind of has to be felt, and we haven't really been able to allow that process while we're experiencing this story as our life, because it feels true, you know, so why would we question if it's true? So just allowing that space for the question is just letting, it's a kind of open meditative stance, isn't it, in a way, contemplative stance that just allows whatever needs to happen, whichever type of answer that is, to occur in that openness. So it might be there for a while, emotion and a physical sensation. But also emptiness can just be there too. It doesn't need to be one or the other, does it? Just kind of a very open and relaxed way of being.
So as far as the process goes, because it's quite fascinating for me, because I've done contemplation before. Clearly I wasn't doing it the right way.
We're always learning deeper, aren't we? We're always, And myself, when I started this process, I would only listen to the phenomenal answers, and I'd get to the positive thoughts and the positive emotions, and then I tend to feel better, so I'd stop the process. But just more and more living in that open stance of, and eventually when the strong emotions and negative experience had disappeared, it was kind of somewhere halfway between self-inquiry and contemplation. I might just spend a whole day with what am I or where am I, you know, some kind of self-inquiry, but the same process, the same kind of energetic stance.
So it can be something that is, because that's what I was going to ask you, is like, so do you just continue in this process of, like, when does it come to an end? Or does it, you know, it's like you said, well, I tended to feel better. So it's, and that's exactly what I would do myself.
Well, the longer you stay with any question, and it doesn't mean in a physical situation like this, I mean, eventually we'll end this session, but coming back to this question over and over again, you can ask this question even when your life is really reflecting back to you that you are deeply accepted. You can still ask this question. And as you stay with this question, the answers are going to become higher and higher in frequency. So we started with a lot of fear, with some openness, and eventually that might, and relaxation, and then lightness, and, you know, it's going to, your life becomes a living experience of the answer to this question, experiential answer. My life is the continuous answer to this question. And the longer I stay with any question, the more positive the answers are going to get. You might find a question just shifts, you know, as you move through that process. So there's no, you can stay with it as long as you like. You can stay with the question just when it pops up in your life and you notice and it's happening again. as you really begin to enjoy the process, the openness of, so we're not doing any hard work here, really, are we? We're just asking a question. And it begins to feel very similar to meditation, you know.
Yeah, so my mind thinks it's hard.
Yeah, absolutely.
But my mind wants to, like, when we first started this, my mind was like, well, I have to give her the right answer.
Yeah, and that's an answer, isn't it? That's our answer right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we're just conditioned as human beings that there is one right answer to a question and many wrong answers. So we're just kind of dropping that, and in the openness, any answer is the right answer, really, we could say. Some we might enjoy more than others in our body, in our experience, but there's nothing that's not allowed to happen in this. And in that openness, it just begins to transmute these energies that have been so stuck in the body.
Well, and I think the other thing too is that so the more I deepen in my realization, then it is obviously the mind that comes in and says, well, you should be right to, you know, the self or the noumenon right away, because you know that's what you are.
So. Well, I think about 90 seconds into it, you touched on the emptiness.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And more it'll become clear that that kind of openness of a question is the noumenon. It's unassuming. It's not knowing. It's free. It's anything that needs to move inside, it can move. Anything that needs to come and go. That kind of openness is another facet, another face of the real self, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like the emptiness is, as we've been calling it, it's just not bothered at all about what's happening inside it. It's just letting the phenomenal answers come and go, which is really what we're doing with the question, isn't it? It's just a way, the question, to facilitate that kind of very passive stance to whatever needs to happen. And of course, if the situation appears in your life, and you need to take some action, you would. It's not passive in that way, but passive in terms of, I'm not trying to push anything away. I'm also not trying to hold on to anything. I'm just open, and I'm kind of learning to be more and more this open stance to be that. And at first, we kind of use a question to get us to that. When I began to really experience what it feels like to be open, it was, I didn't always need the question after a while. It's like, if I'm suffering, I'm assuming something is true. So I'd just go to a very general question, like, what is reality? Because it's obviously I'm believing something right now. I don't even need to know what that is, but I know there's something because my body's telling me, my life's telling me in that.
Yeah.
How do you feel now? Do you feel more relaxed?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So this is about 20 minutes into this question. Imagine 20 days into this question, how that's going to feel.
Yeah.
Or 20 months or 20 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of a different way to be, isn't it? Because our mind says, well, I've asked this question and I get the right answer and then I move on to something else.
Yeah.
But if one question could take you all the way, you know, you could ask that one question forever, and each time you ask it, there's a deeper and richer reflection in your life as the answer. And you know, that's a different way to orient your existence, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's freedom in itself, that, isn't it? Because I'm not heading towards a final endpoint where I've done my contemplation and finished. You know, it's kind
of, exactly. Or I've got to sort of figure out from the mind of, how can I be accepted?
Yeah.
What do I have to do to be accepted?
It becomes ever deeper seen. You might be getting a sense of that now. You've always been accepted, but you've had to experience the opposite while this idea has been in there. And those that really want to love you and be with you are vibrationally held apart from you, because this belief is in play still, the story.
Yeah.
And absolutely. That accepting as you are, of course, starts with your own self. Now, we're doing that right now. We're accepting you as you are right now. You know, with the tension and the fear and the whatever else is happening, emptiness and the openness, the lightness, all of that.
Yeah.
it begins to just mirror then as, you know, I actually like myself and other people, and start to really, that feeling you were speaking about before, if people really knew me, you know, I put on this mask and they like that mask, but if they really knew me, you know, so that begins to disappear, more feeling of authenticity, more comfortableness with yourself in this, which you might feel a little bit of already.
Yeah, I have noticed that in my interactions with others, this kind of, you know, just being myself and not worrying about it, but there's still this underlying, you know, so.
And that's all we're doing now, is just dissolving this kind of energy in the egoic mind. You've seen it's not true, but some part of your ego is holding on to that. It can't dissolve these by itself. It needs to be, it'll give you the belief through the emotion, and we can question that and dissolve it. And really dissolving it is just moving away from the tendency to automatically believe it, just to go to the question more often than we go to the assumption. And it gets easier and easier to remember the question, because eventually there's only two states we're experiencing. One is the openness and the other is closed and suffering. Yeah. And it gets more and more obvious where we're closed, you know, like, yeah. I'm doing it again somewhere.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
So let's just sit with this question for a few more minutes. Let's just see what happens when we stay with this. Can you remember the question? Or?
I do.
Good. Just again, we're not expecting anything. It's just nice to sit with a question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like you would just sit in a nice warm bath, or
that's so funny, because when I said the question this last time, there was just this warmth that came over me. It was like saying the question was me in this really loving, accepting way.
And this is the essence of self-love, isn't it? You're sort of allowing yourself completely to be as you are. And that allows a rush of life force into the body, mind, light, you know, all of that.
Yeah.
And it begins to just feel so lovely that we do want to stay with a question. I mean, any question. You know, it could be, what am I having for dinner tonight? You know, something, obviously you might want to use more purposeful questions while you've still got some negative emotions on, but you can see the idea behind it. It's the Absolutely. Contemplative stance that we're learning, rather than assuming something. And somehow our energy just becomes, our beingness becomes habituated into this automatically. I'm just open more by, it just happens that I'm open. Less am I closed. And then eventually you forget how to close around a thought, a belief, an emotion. Mm-hmm. And that closing is just giving it a lot of attention, isn't it?
Yeah.
So your attention can't really land on anything for too long, because you're just open with the question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's absolutely what's happening. Is that just, not really me. It's just open. And the difference between from when I first asked myself the question, when we first started, and how constricted and how fearful I felt of that I needed to get the right answer.
Yeah.
And then coming to this place of this question is me, and it's just light and open, and
I felt like my whole beingness became the shape of a question mark eventually, because it just felt so nice. If you could somehow see my energy, it'd be like shaped in a question mark.
Feel
that statement out now. So the original statement was, I can't be accepted for who I am. Does that feel, can you feel that you don't quite believe that as much now, when you feel that out vibrationally?
Absolutely. Yes.
So just continuing. Yeah, just continuing with the question. It's still, you can still feel, you might be like, okay, I 75% believe that now, and I did 95 before we started this or something. And just staying with the question when you know, 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes in before you go to bed, or whenever, as much time as you want to and have, really, as long as you don't make it hard work. yeah, right, I'm going to exactly. contemplate this question to death. I'm going to really attack it, you know, like, let's not do that. Yeah.
Nope. Been there, done that, actually.
We've all done that one. Yeah. It's just a very different stance here, isn't it, of what we're actually doing here is, and even if you suddenly had right now while we were sitting here, a massive epiphany where you were just sobbing and, oh my God, I've always been loved and accepted. I'm perfect as I am. It still wouldn't be the right answer. Right. Yeah. Yeah. It'd be nice, great, but it's not the right. You see, we're just showing the mind. It's just going to be an ongoing process. It's goalless.
Yes. Yeah. I love that. It really, because it just takes the pressure, you know, that the mind puts on it. Yeah. It's just
this is our way of being, isn't it? If I ask you a question, you feel immediately you have to find the right answer.
Yeah.
And then when you find that right answer, it's done, it's over. And if you get a wrong answer, you've got to keep looking. And it's just kind of getting out of that way of being. You know, so.
Totally. I just see it as this one question is just going to open up exactly what the core of it is, because it's like the more I'm just allowing every answer to be there, then it's going to, then I can't really put it into words, but it's like, how could I not accept myself, and how could I not be accepted?
Yeah.
Like I just see it just unfolding.
And the only thing that's happening here is that attention has gone to this thought over and over again out of habit, because we've been experiencing it. It seems justified for attention to go to it. But now that we see it's not true for the real self, all we're doing is getting our attention off of it by having this openness. And therefore we stop experiencing it. And life begins to show us the opposite of that, that, you know, there are many beings. And just to watch for, you know, for me, it helped me to just journal, note down in my journal when I started to see the experience turn around. You know, even it might not be, you know, a busload of people knock on your door and say, can we be friends? But you might just have a really nice conversation with someone in the supermarket where there's a real feeling of, for 5 minutes, a real connection or something. You might never see that person again, but there is the start of it turning around, you know, and you can celebrate that then in your experience. Mm-hmm. But most of all, celebrating this that we're experiencing right now, intimacy with myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
what it is. Running away from anything inside me. It's lovely, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is. Yeah. Yeah.
Wonderful. So do you think you could find a few minutes every day to do this?
Absolutely.
This horrible chore of contemplation.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
For a while in my own journey, there was a time when I didn't meditate very much at all. It was pretty much all contemplation. Because I realized it was taking me to the same place anyway.
Yeah.
And I was dissolving the patterns while I was doing it, you know. And it becomes a very fine line then between meditation, self-inquiry, and contemplation that often gets crossed.
Yeah.
They're really the same thing, aren't we? However, we get back to the openness of the self. Absolutely. Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. Well, thank you for participating in this. I'm sure it's been very helpful for a lot of people.
Very helpful for me. Thank you, Valerie.
Good. You look very relaxed now.
I feel so relaxed.
Good. Lovely. Well, thank you. And I'll see you next time.
That's good. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.